It is our privilege this week to have Sergio and Linda Mahangos with us. They've been supported by this church for a number of years. And as you know, when we have someone in missions come back, we like to give them a good opportunity to share what's been happening. So I'm going to ask Sergio and Linda to come at this time, and I'm going to ask you to give them your kind and complete attention and just ask that you follow along with all they have to share with us today.
Good morning. We are Sergio and Linda Mahangos, like Pastor G just said, and we serve at the Central American Theological Seminary, and there is it's a privilege, really, to be back here with you. We were sharing with you in the Sunday school class time a little bit of the country of Guatemala, about the seminary where we serve, and now we want to share more about how are we involved in that ministry. We serve at the Central American Theological Seminary, and this is a picture of one of our buildings, and it's located in Guatemala.
And just one thing that we want to share who we are and the different programs we have. We have two sons that were in the first picture up there, Derek and Christian, and they're both in college now. And those of you who were downstairs earlier heard more about them, but we just want to thank you for your prayers for them over the years, too. And one has finished college and one is in college, so they're not with us this time. But we want to share with you really what we do and the different programs. We shared earlier about the different programs that the seminary has. And we go through from women's Bible studies and pastors and courses for pastors who don't have even a high school degree all the way up through doctoral programs. And we shared about some of our students this morning, and we want to share about more of our students and especially about what our graduates are doing today. And we'll be talking about our involvement and our graduates and what you do as for us. And before I forget, I want to tell you that we have a table in the back, a display with prayer cards back there. You can sign up for, we send usually a monthly email letter out if you would like to get that and to know how to pray for us. And they're not out there on the table now, but they will be. And after the service, we'll be back there. And kids, if anybody would like, we call these friendship bracelets. They're woven bracelets made in Guatemala. And if you want to get one and help us to pray for them, and a lot of times my kids always just like to wear them anyway, but I can help you pray for us. But we'll have some of those back there, too, if anybody wants one. Yes, and we have prayer cards back there if you didn't get one this morning in Sunday school.
So like we said, we already shared part of our ministry with you, but we want to tell you a little bit more of what our involvement is, what we are doing at the Central American Theological Seminary.
So Sergio's main involvement is in the area of teaching. As we said, we have programs that go all the way up to doctoral levels, and his contribution has been on just about every level through the years, but currently he is coordinates and teaches in the Master's in Counseling program. And so that's his as far as teaching, and then he still does counseling sometimes with students, with staff and faculty at the seminary, and so those are his, but he has been in teaching for, as we said, below 30 years, and in all different levels from in the undergrad and now currently in the master's programs.
This is a picture of our class in the master's in counseling. This is the group that is about to graduate. And one thing that is very special about our seminary, like we mentioned before, is that we have students from 29 countries, from all over the world. And just in this group of 20-some students, we have students from 11 countries. And that's exciting for us to see how the Lord is bringing people from all over the world to this small seminary in Guatemala.
And in this picture, we also have, as part of the Master's in Counseling program, Sergio teaches classes, but we have four classes over a two-year period that are taught by visiting professors in 1 week, intensive formula from Denver Seminary. And this was one class taught a year ago by Dr. Heather Gingrich. She's kind of in the middle there on severe trauma, and she's an expert in that field. And we're very thankful for these professors who have more expertise and are very gifted that have been able to come and make a difference. And these classes are often open to other master's programs as well. And in that class, we get students from masters in theology and Bible and others as well.
My function in this case is to recruit the professors from different seminaries. Just in this trip, we've been able to start to be in touch with professors from Trinity Divinity School, where I graduate from. Also from other seminaries, we visit Wheaton, and we're trying to get professors to come teach with us. And my job in this respect is I translate everything that they're going to teach into Spanish, and we use a translator when they are teaching. So all the material, PowerPoint, and all the material that they use is already in Spanish. So it takes us like a year to get prepared for these visiting professors that come.
Sergio also oversees our counseling center, and we have 5-6 different counselors that we work on a part-time basis. I am one of them, and it's just part of when we were able to start the master's in counseling program. It took Sergio 2 or 3 years to develop it and decide what was going to be part of it, develop the pensum, and then it's been 10 years now, and we have over 30 graduates in that program. And then part of that then was to have a counseling center, and he was the counseling center for many years. And so now we have other students, graduates from the master's in counseling that are in there on a part-time basis, and so we can see up to 60 people a week. And then Sergio also takes time to mentor students that are coming up, and sometimes they are that are in the counseling, and sometimes they do also help in the counseling center. And these are just different ways that he can get involved on a personal level.
Linda's involvement is in many areas. One of her main involvements, it has to do with the counseling center. She has a master's in counseling. She was my student at the seminary. And she's also working at the seminary. She sees an average of 16 clients a week. We see clients not only from our student body, but also from the local community. And the churches are referring people that want to that work on some area that they're struggling with. And Linda is one of our counselors. Our counseling center probably is seeing around an average of 60 clients a week, which keeps us pretty busy. A new area that Linda has been developing, not really planning, but she's also seeing many missionaries that work in Guatemala that are struggling with some issues, and instead of having to come back all the way to the States, they can work on those issues right there in Guatemala. Tell us about this other couple.
Well, this couple up here are Callie and Estuardo, and they gave me permission to use their names and share their story. And this was a post from Facebook. This is a couple. She came to Guatemala to work with a school in Antigua, Guatemala, which is about 45 minutes outside the capital. And she was there for a couple years, and she met this Guatemalan young man, and they fell in love. It sometimes happens. So someone recommended that they come to the counseling center for their premarital counseling, and I ended up doing premarital counseling with them. And Estuardo told me when we finished, he said, "I have to tell you that when Callie told me that we were going to do premarital counseling with an American woman, I wasn't quite sure how this was going to work." He says, "But I have to tell you that I have learned so much, and this has been so helpful that I want to thank you." And I was wrong in my prejudices or defensiveness. Well, they have come back this year for a couple times. There's, you know, cultural issues and other things. But they've come back when they've been in the city. They have asked, and we've worked on some things that they have been going through. And she put this post up just before, and probably a couple months ago now, but just not long before we were coming. And she said they got married in North Carolina a year ago and so had to go through the hoops to get it approved in Guatemala and registered in Guatemala. So she said, "Celebratory post because we love going to counseling whenever we are able to make it to Guatemala City. Investing in our marriage is so important, and we love growing together." That was the first one. The second one is that they officially got married in Guatemala. It was all registered and done. So she says, "Congratulations to us." And then she writes, "Guatemala friends, I highly recommend our counselor. Professionally, biblically-based guidance, fully bilingual, addresses both cultures seamlessly. Private message me for contact info." And I was like, "Oh, that's so nice. That's me." So I asked them to. So it's just one example. But that the Lord has allowed me to be able to work with not only our students, not only Guatemalans, but also Americans that are in Guatemala, serving him in different areas, whether it's couples or individuals or cross-cultural, and so I'm thankful for that.
Part of Linda's involvement also is a traditional Christmas tea that she organizes every December. You can be praying for her because we're getting back to Guatemala the 4th, and her tea is scheduled for the 11th, so she has 1 week. One key element in this tea has been the American Christmas cookies. That's what has really made it attractive for many of the ladies, and she organizes this tea for the ladies that live in our neighborhood. So around 15, 20 ladies come every year, and Linda chooses a theme, presents the cookies, and shares the gospel with them. We live in a very international neighborhood, and even though there's only 24 houses in the area where we live, there's people from different parts of the world. We have people from Korea. We've got people from China, from Iran. Our next-door neighbor is from Iran, married to a Guatemalan. So, but all these ladies come to we had one from Belgium, too, in the past, in different countries in Central America. But the point is all these ladies are coming to our house for Christmas and are listening to the gospel. So that's been very, very fascinating. Linda's very creative, choosing a theme, connecting the theme with the gospel, and serving the cookies and serving some other meals that the ladies are always there. As a result, you want to say more about this? As a result of this tea, Linda started a Bible study with the ladies from the neighborhood.
Yeah, it has. And I did this tea for like 8 years, and after each one, I would say, at the end of the, we'd give the gospel and share and just say, if anybody's interested in studying the Bible more, please let me know. We could do that. And there was never any response. Finally, and actually this week I figured out what year it was. In 2011, three people came up to me and said, you know, I would like to study the Bible. And I said, okay, we'll talk in January. In January we talked and we got started with the book of John. And so in 2012, we got started with the book of John. And since then, that has continued. We have some of the same ladies. We have some different ones. Right now, there's 6 of us. And most of these women have accepted the Lord, or at least and understood really what salvation is. And they all come out of a Catholic church, Catholic background. Nobody had studied the Bible before, maybe heard it read, but that was about it. And so it was a challenge for them. But it has been so neat to see how they have grown and how they've told their kids and their husbands. And just right now, we just started the end of this year before we came. We'd finished the Gospel of Mark. We started the book of Galatians because works is a big theme that they have been brought up with, that you have to do good works is often faith and works. Salvation comes from faith and works, not just faith. And so over the years, the several years that we have been doing this, I have constantly had to go, okay, does good works count for, you know, why do we do good works? Oh, to get to heaven. No. We do good works because we love God, because he loved us, because we're grateful, but that doesn't save us. And that's something, you know, you can't do a checklist. You know, salvation isn't a checklist. Okay, I went to church, I did this, I, you know, took communion, whatever, had perfect attendance. That doesn't do it. It's grace. And so we've got through chapter 2 of Galatians, and Paul was talking, and see, Galatians talks about that keeping the law cannot save you. And so sometimes nowadays we don't think of the Jewish law, but we've kind of sometimes developed our own laws, haven't we? And what is, you know, what we have to do. And no, but it's not, so it's not the Jewish law, or it's not a checklist of things. And so the question then was, after Paul gets through with what, you know, the law can't save, I said, so can our good works save us? And each of these ladies went around the table and they said, and I looked at each one and they said, no, 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 no. And I went, yes, they got it. And so I had served some ginger snaps we had on the table. And I said, okay, everybody gets another cookie. and you got the right answer. So that was really encouraging to me. That happened just before we came.
Something important about this Bible study that Linda leads on Fridays is that includes breakfast. So these ladies come to our house, have breakfast that Linda prepares, and hear about the gospel and study the Bible, and they're growing. Some of their husbands are saying, you're changing. What's happening to you? Which is, it's good news. Another ministry that Linda is involved in is that she's one of the two people authorized to use questionnaire. It's an inventory online called Prepare Enrich. Tell us about it.
This is something that came out of Minnesota. It has been around for 30 years, and now it's online. It's personalized. It can be used for premarital counseling. It can be used for marriage counseling. It gives you like a photograph of how your marriage or your relationship is at the moment. I highly recommend it. You can go online and find somebody who's trained in it. It can be used within the church. It can be used outside the church. I think the people who did it were Christians, but they did it in such a way that it can be used by non-Christians as well, and as a tool for marriage. But the Lord has given me the privilege to become a trainer, so I have been doing one or two trainings a year with our students, sometimes with other graduates, and allowing them to be able to use this tool in their counseling. And so I'm very excited about that. And in fact, this week I talked with the gal who's in charge of member care of our mission board and that we've recently joined. And in talking about doing with Guatemalans or Latins that are coming from Latin American, Spanish-speaking countries that come through a program and to go out into other parts of the world and to be able to work in that process with them of screening and interviewing and also using this as a tool to help with the missionary preparation services for people from Latin America. So that's exciting. It's exciting, too.
Other ministry that we are involved in, and this is a very special, very ministry that is very close to our heart, is a Bible study that we have been teaching for 20 years. This is different than the Bible study that Linda teaches. Linda's Bible study on Fridays is with ladies that don't know the Lord and are becoming Christians. This is a Bible study with mature Christians. They've been Christians for a long time, and it's a study for couples. On the top of the picture on the top, you can see a regular time when we meet. And you may notice there, the Bible study also includes dinner. So food is an important element in what we're doing, and everybody loves how Linda cooks. So that's part of the photo, the picture on the bottom. It's our Christmas celebration from last year. So this is another very close ministry to our hearts. Something especially that we've been developing material all these 20 years to teach them, and they've been growing so much in their faith.
And one of the men that's in the group for a number of years was in charge of small groups for his church, which is different from ours, and he was using Sergio's material in his small group Bible studies. Another ministry that we've been involved in that I've been more with is called Intermissions. The last week in February every year, we have a countrywide conference for evangelical missionaries. And you get people who are from remote areas that really don't have much contact with others. You have other people from that do. But we have usually around 100 families that come. And the way this is made possible is through donations and gifts. We have, and we are able to get churches to get this vision and to bring down teams that will do the children's program for the week, the youth program for, the weekend, the youth program for the weekend, a worship team for the weekend, and we have a speaker from the U.S. So we have time to worship in Spanish to get, and we have workshops, and the kids have their own program. It is a wonderful thing. It has been going on for many years, but at a hotel with all of these things for almost 20 years. And I have the privilege of being on the committee that helps organize this. This year in February, we were able to host teams from one of our sending churches in the Atlanta area that came down to do both the children's and the youth and brought the speaker. And so that was really exciting. And there's a church here in Pennsylvania from New Holland, Pennsylvania, Lancaster area. There's an eye doctor in that picture, and he's from that church. They have brought down a servant team for the last 20 years that come and give haircuts and do eye exams and massages and pamper missionaries. And we don't know how much longer they're going to be. They may not be continuing it as they may not be continuing to do that on a regular basis. We're not sure yet, but the Lord has greatly blessed them. And so if at any point you'd be willing to come down and do a mission trip to the missionaries. We're always looking for churches in to be willing to do that.
Something special about this conference is that we can go back to what we're doing, renew, you know, after that weekend receiving. These are some pictures about our graduates. We want to tell you what our graduates are doing, because it's interesting to see that our students are already involved in ministry, but after they graduate, what happens to them? And there's just a few stories of them. On the top, you can see is the graduation of one of our students, Heather. You can see me with my funny hat. It's the regalia that we wear for graduations. The first time that our son Christian, he was like 3, saw that hat, he said, piñata. It had nothing to do with a piñata. It's just the way that the institution, the hat that they use for graduations. But we are there in a very special day for Heather. She's one of our students that graduates from our Master's in Counseling program. She's a registered nurse, and she works in a very interesting, in a key area, because she's working with with health issues, with people at risk. She's working with prostitutes and people like that in that type of situations. But now that she has her master's, she can also share the gospel and do counseling with them. So she's really being used by the Lord in a very, very difficult area. On the bottom, you have Wilnick. Wilnick is a student from Haiti. He came right after one of the severe earthquakes they have had in Haiti. And for several weeks, he didn't know about his family. He came, and when he came, he barely spoke Spanish. He spoke Creole, which is his native language. He spoke a little bit of French and a little bit of English, but he managed to adapt, and he's graduating there with his master's in counseling. He decides to go back to Haiti, which is a very needed area, to continue working with them now that he has finished his master's in counseling. This is another couple of our graduates.
This is Evis, who's from Guatemala, and Mireille, who's from France. They met on a mercy ship and then came to Guatemala. So he was doing for him to get his theological studies, and she did her master's in counseling. He is currently working on his doctoral program. And they went back to pastor and do counseling in France. They have 4 little girls. And now we just found out this week that he has been asked to do some work and go and do some teaching in Senegal, because they speak French in Senegal. So he, I think, is there right now, or possibly, I think he's there right now, and he took materials in French. So, yes, they're actually full-time ministry in French, but right now the Lord is taking them to Senegal, and so we're excited. Again, another country that our students are reaching. And here's Jessica. She is serving. She's from Guatemala. She's actually from our home church in Guatemala City. And the Lord had placed a burden on her for the Muslim world. She'd served in Turkey for a year, and then it took quite a few years. But she has been in North Africa for 2 years. And it's tough. She's coming home for a visit next year, and I think she's counting the days. But the Lord has really been using her. She's working in a women's ministry, in a women's prison. She's still working on her Arabic. Language learning has been tough. She already spoke French, and they do speak French there. But the neat thing is until she opens her mouth, nobody knows she's not local. And because she looks very much like the people she lives in and among. And she shared on Facebook the other day that she went into a bank, and they didn't want to pay her what she needed to get paid. And she got rather upset, and she got frustrated in Arabic and went to French. And people were looking at her like, what's your problem? You should know this sometimes doesn't work here. Things don't always work. But then the lady, you know, the teller said, no, she's not from here. And they looked at her like, she's not from here. You're not from here? Well, and, you know, and she, so, but the Lord is using her. She's working in relationships because she cannot openly share the gospel. And asking, she's single, she's asking the Lord to bring her new and more single women to build friendships with. And the Lord is doing that and using her to bring hope as she learns to live in that culture. And it's difficult, but God is using her. We're excited about what the Lord is doing through her.
Your prayers, your financial support is what makes possible for us to be able to serve in Guatemala. We are really, really thankful for your faithfulness, helping us to be in this place that we feel is very strategic, and to see what the Lord is doing in Guatemala, but more, from Guatemala around the world, through our graduates and our students. We are privileged to represent you in this work, And we had a video from our students saying thank you, but the sound didn't work. So this is a picture of our students saying thank you to you for allowing us to serve the Lord in Guatemala and from Guatemala around the world. Thank you so much.
I'm going to come between you.
Okay.
A couple of quick questions that always get asked when missionaries come back to visit with us. And so I'd like to pose those now while you're in front of the congregation. One of the first that we like to ask is, what is your support level? And what is your need level?
Our support has never been complete. We're receiving around 80% of what we need. The Lord has been very faithful, and in the months that we don't get all the support we need, we always get one or two extra gifts that help us meet our goals. So maybe it's two or three times in the last 2 years that we really haven't received all the funds we need, because the Lord always brings an extra gift or something like that. So the pledge support has never been 100%. It's around 80%.
Second question, are there any special items or matters that we can be praying for you for? And ladies first.
Thank you. Personal items, financial support, just those extra gifts that we do need, that the Lord would place those on people's hearts. I would say for our son Christian's health, as some of you have been praying for him and people have asked, and he gets recurrent acute pancreatitis. And sometimes he can go for a while without an issue. He went for a year and a half at one point, and then he got six. In the next year and a half, he had six episodes. And it's painful. It's long. Can have long-term implications. And we just pray that, just praying for healing for him. Right now, he's been almost 8 months without an episode, and we're thankful for that. And so, you know, his health is something that's always on our minds. And so those are some personal needs, you know, the things we've mentioned for, you know, new ladies for my Bible study, for the tea coming up when as soon as we get home, that the Lord would bring some new people there, too, and to hear the gospel. And that the Lord would use us in our neighborhood and community as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Something you can be praying for, too, is that we're going to have a new president at the seminary starting in next year. And we're going to have a new president in the country, in Guatemala, starting in January. So that's our big prayer request. You never know what's going to change with the changes of government in the country. And we have had the one who's finishing his term was a Christian president, and that's been a great blessing. But we need to continue working within that system. With the new government. Thank you.
One more. And also regarding the seminary, is the Master's in Counseling program, where Sergio teaches, is a 2-year program, and so we're starting a new 2-year kind of it's a cycle. So we're starting a new cycle in January, and we're praying that the Lord would give us 20 new students in the Master's in Counseling. So that's a specific thing that you could also be praying for. And let's see, one other thing is just protection. We live in a big city. There's a lot of crime and violence. And so just for the Lord's protection as we go about our daily business.
Are there any specific ministry-oriented needs that you'd like us to be praying for? Beyond those that you've shared. All right.
For wisdom and counseling, that's what I do, and just for God to give me wisdom and insight, and for people to respond, and just, you know, and helping them help God help them too.
Now I'm going to ask some participation from the congregation. First of all, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. All right. And if you're here this morning, and you have the Lord spoke into your heart about praying specifically for this couple. Would you put your hand up? Anyone? All right. There are a number of hands. All right. Would you all bow with me for a moment of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for your servants, for their obedience to your call. We thank you, Father, for ministering to them and ministering through them. We thank you for the privilege of being a part of their ministry. We pray that you'll continue to enable us to support them, not just financially, but spiritually through prayer. And we ask, Father, that you would meet these various needs that they have shared with us this morning. And we pray now, Father, as we prepare to go our separate ways, that it would be with your hand upon us. And we'll thank you for all that you've done and all that you will do in and through their lives and ours. In Jesus' name, amen.